Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
And welcome back. I'm Ryan Recker filling in for Mark Cox. Another hour of the Mark Cox Morning Show. And this morning, I mean, there's so much that is going on in the world today. We have here on the radio station Sunday, the Charlie Kirk Memorial. We'll broadcast that. Jesse Waters will be hosting that coverage. And I feel like it's going to be very emotional. I'm glad the station decided to air that on Sunday. Very happy for that decision. Coming up in a little bit, too, we're going to talk to a concerned mom in the Wentzville School District. They had a school board meeting last night. I was watching some of it. I want to get her take on some comments from a middle school teacher that were completely insensitive, at the very least, regarding Charlie Kirk. So we'll have her on to discuss that and some of her objections to it. But joining us now is Representative Dr. Bob Onder. Good morning to you, sir.
Good morning. Great to be back.
One of the things that you're here to talk about is something that is, I think, pretty important. It's the Chloe Cole Act. Can you explain what that is?
Yeah. The Chloe Cole Act is a response to this just unbelievable surge of gender transition, so-called treatment of our vulnerable children and young adults. The incidence of boys and girls, adolescent, pre-adolescent, identifying as the opposite sex has increased over 3,000% in the last 10 years. And this is driven by social media. Sometimes it's driven by indoctrination at schools, sometimes peer pressure or social contagion. But there is a whole industry that I call the gender industrial complex that preys on these kids, gives them expensive and dangerous drugs like puberty blockers and wrong sex hormones, and then schedules them for surgery. In the case of girls, bilateral mastectomies, and boys, all sorts of hideous procedures. So what the Chloe Cole Act is something I'm working on with the Justice Department and with Senator Marsha Blackburn to outlaw these procedures and to create strict liability for those butchers and quacks who would exploit our kids in this way.
I mean, we don't let our children vote before they're 18. We don't let them drink before they're 21. But you can have life-altering surgeries as even a preteen in some cases. We begin some of the hormone blockers and some of the horrific drugs that they put these kids on as early as 10, 11 years old. How have we gotten here, Bob? I mean, it's like, where did we jump into this, horrific, horrific human, we call it medicine, but it's not medicine. It's a mental health problem, and we're dealing with it in a medical way.
Well, that's right. It is a mental health problem. It was recognized as such universally by the medical community until not too long ago. But I have to say, as long ago as 20 years ago, the gender ideologues, and these people are in the lineage of John Money, who did the first just gruesome experiment of changing a little boy into a little girl decades ago. The ideologues have gradually captured the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, the Endocrine Society, and convinced doctors and universities that they can make a lot of money doing this. A lot of the doctors and the counselors are ideologues themselves. And, you know, parents are bullied into this a lot of times. These kids have anxiety, depression. Some are on the autism spectrum. Some are victims of sexual abuse. So they don't want to be a little girl anymore because they don't want to be sexually abused anymore. And instead of giving these kids the care that they need, these quacks exploit these poor kids and tell them, yeah, you're really a girl, you're really a boy, and put them down this path. Puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, yes. I mean, you know, 10 years old. And the plan, you know, a lot of times these quacks will say, well, you know, the puberty blockers are just a pause in puberty so you can make your decision after a time. In these gender clinics, 100% of the kids, the plan is to put them on the wrong sex hormone, to put girls on testosterone, boys on estrogen, and permanently destroy their fertility. And, you know, Chloe Cole went down this path. Chloe Cole is the most prominent, what are referred to as detransitioners. And she testifies eloquently to the suffering she went through at the hands of these quacks and groomers who exploited her for their profit. We want people like Chloe Cole and her family to be able to get justice in the American legal system and put this just horrific example of corporate malpractice to bed once and for all.
And Chloe is one of, you know, an example of thousands who have gone through this and are, you know, of course, regretting that decision. She started on puberty blockers when she was 12. She got a double mastectomy at 15. And then at 17, she realized that she truly wanted and was a woman and has detransitioned since then. Very brave 21-year-old. She has been out there publicly and speaking on it. How do we hold
it? Someone like Chloe is very brave. She gets death threats regularly because the radical left loves this army of gender transition kids. It's horrible exploitation. It's the worst thing I think we've seen in the history of medicine. And other countries like Sweden and the UK and Denmark and Finland are all moving away from this horrific practice. And yet the gender ideologues in the U.S. are doubling down. Fortunately, Donald Trump's Department of Justice, and we congressional Republicans are determined to do something about it.
Yeah, and I think the word exploitation needs to be highlighted here. So when you talk about the harm that is being done, yes, we do have a duty to protect children in this country. What about on the doctor side, the ones that are exploiting these children, and you use the term malpractice? I think that's an appropriate term. What can be done to the doctors that are doing these procedures and writing these medications?
Multi-billion dollar business, by the way.
Yeah,
it is. Indeed, it is. And, you know, the hospitals and universities have recognized how profitable this is. 15 years ago, I think there were three gender transition clinics for kids in the whole United States. And now there are over 300. Of course, Trump's executive orders have put a lot of those out of business. But we need to end this once and for all. What can we do? Well, the Chloe Cole Act takes the approach of enhanced liability, strict liability, which means, you know, you're the quack doctor who does these things is responsible. And the only question is, what are the damages? And then a statute of limitations of 25 years beyond the child's 18th birthday. Under this liability climate, these clinics will shut down. These doctors will stop what they're doing because no one's going to sell them medical malpractice insurance anymore because they are committing medical malpractice right now. We just need to make it clear in the law that that's what is going on.
What about parental abuse, educational influencers, groomers, people who move these kids at a very impressionable young age, oftentimes down these roads and dark paths? Is there any accountability to them in the act?
Well, you know, not in this bill per se. I have to say, some of the parents are bullied into agreeing to their child gender transition. You know, would you rather have a live son or a dead daughter? Others are what we refer to in medicine as Munchausen by proxy. The parents are getting some sort of sick satisfaction out of having a so-called trans kid. But no, I think there need, and in many states, as you know, including California and Tim Walz's Minnesota, parents can lose custody of their kids if they don't agree to their transition. And in many, many places, including the Parkway School District in St. Louis, school districts have hidden their kids' social transition or their use of breast binders from parents, and that's well documented. It's just horrific. There are many, many bad guys involved in exploiting the kids, and a lot of it's in the name of gender ideology. A lot of it's in the name of profit.
Yeah.
Well, Representative Dr. Bob Onder, thank you so much for joining us this morning, talking about a very important topic. And I think luckily as a country, the path we were going down when it came to Joe Biden was there was going to be more of this. I think we're starting to reverse course and we're matching the reality of the situation and the gravity of the situation as well. We have to match the science of it as well and realize this is the wrong thing to do. And hopefully we can get to that point where we reject it altogether.
Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you, people like Chloe Cole and Charlie Kirk were very brave. We know that the last question Charlie was answering before his death was a question about this horrific practice of gender transition of kids.
Yeah. All right. Dr. Bob Onder, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We really appreciate it.
Have a great weekend.
You as well. Joining us after the break is a parent very concerned in the Wentzville School District. Forwarded me some comments from a middle school teacher there, also someone that's involved, I guess, in the administrative level. And Lindy Williford is going to join us after the break. We're going to have her comments. And we have the Queen of Hearts drawing. Looking forward to that, too. You're listening to 97.1 FM Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
St. Louis Backstoppers, awesome, awesome, awesome organization. And we do have the Queen of Hearts drawing card for today. It is the Seven of Diamonds. The slot is 11. I have a ticket number for you. 297-816635. We have that up on the video screen there, too. So Seven of Diamonds, slot 11. This is benefiting Guns and Hoses, St. Louis Backstoppers, Queen of Hearts raffle, and I got to tell you what an A-plus organization they are. A-plus-plus-plus organization they are. So good luck to you. You're waiting for that announcement. All right, joining us now is someone concerned with what's going on in the Wentzville School District. There was a school board meeting last night. I went through some of the public comment portion of that. It's posted publicly on YouTube, and it's someone that brought this to our attention. Lindy Williford's joining us here. Thank you so much, Lindy, for sharing your story. We really appreciate it.
Hi, Ryan. Thanks for having me. I just think it's kind of a sad reflection of the state of education in this country when we're seeing so many news stories coming out about teachers or educators suspended or fired because they're, you know, mocking the cheering the assassination of another American that they don't agree with. It kind of really makes me sick to my stomach, you know?
So let me kind of back up, and I'm going to read the statement, and I'm not going to say the person's name because I went through the school board meeting. I don't think this teacher was named I've seen some follow-up things, I guess maybe administrative leave at the moment. But here is the Facebook post that was found objectionable by a lot of people. And here it is. Oh, quote, and just so everyone is aware, the Lord indeed does not say, quote, well done to racist, homophobic, misogynist that use their vast platforms to spread hate. When you bear no fruit of the Spirit, you have not been a faithful servant. Now, that social media posts got a lot of parents upset. And when I was watching the Wentzville School District board meeting last night, which, by the way, 3 days ago, I emailed them for comment, see if they had anything to say about it. They did not send any response. So I did reach out to them. I tried to do my due diligence to get their side of the story. So watching the school board meeting from last night, I was streaming, and there was a lot of parents that were supportive of this middle school teacher. And in particular, I saw the one parent go up there and say, the only reason you're upset about this is because the person that posted this is black. So obviously you're racist for showing objection to this. Now, Lindy, that's why I wanted to have you on, because, I mean, I can understand why this is objectionable. I understand why people are upset because the nature of the timing of when this was posted and just how insensitive to the nature of where she was posting it and to the subject matter.
Right. And I mean, you know, we really have to ask ourselves the question is, why do we have so many educators right now celebrating a school shooting? You know, Charlie Kirk was murdered at a school in front of thousands of young people. Would this teacher take the same stance if, you know, another teacher was a victim in a school shooting and had opposing political beliefs to her? Would she say the same hateful things, you know, the untrue words, before he or she is even buried in the ground? You know, I just would like this teacher to reflect on the status of her own heart and how her words affect other human beings that are different than her, you know, especially the children she's around every day.
And to take a Christian approach to her defamation of Charlie. And that's what it was. It's plain and simple defamation of a guy who can't sue her. Right. But people throw out these labels, misogynistic, hateful, racist, you know, on and on and on. But they don't ever back it up with any factual information or data. Because Charlie opposed things through his right of free speech. When I say opposed, everything he opposed was through his faith. And yes, he was outspoken on certain lifestyle issues and lifestyle things, including the LGBT community. But he wasn't hateful about it. In fact, I would say he was more loving and compassionate and cared deeply about people in those situations. And he just, in his belief structure, you know, which he's entitled to in America, has the right to pray for those people and to have dialogue with those people. And they were willingly and openly coming up to his microphone. Let's start there. He wasn't just randomly going on a tirade. He was having conversations with these folks. And they were respectful.
And he would put down his microphone, right, and give them the opportunity to speak.
Right. And people say, oh, well, he was taking advantage of their vulnerability. What? I mean, that everyone is free in America to share their beliefs. But we also don't have to believe in what other people believe in. That's the beauty of being an American. And Charlie would just be willing to express his opposition. For her to go out there and say the Lord doesn't smile on people like Charlie Kirk. If he doesn't smile on Charlie Kirk, then I'm doomed, right?
We're toast. Everyone
we're
is.
We're all toast. And so I just can't believe in the way in which it was so demeaning to Christians, number one, all Christians.
Yes.
But it was also demeaning to a man of faith who all he wanted to do was keep the lines of dialogue open. That's all he did.
Right.
And if you watch any of his content, which he probably doesn't, people, you know, get their minds, they're not going to go out there and try to educate themselves. But 98% of what he did was loving, kind, and compassionate dialogue.
Real quick, Lindy, we only have a minute. I want to give you the last word on this.
Yeah, so this employee in the Wentzville School District in particular, I believe she should be held to a higher level, a higher standard. She is the vice president of the NEA at Wentzville, and she represents a lot of teachers.
Wow.
Yeah, she's likely influential in NEA policy, making, you know, teacher contracts and their public image. And you know, is this the image that the Wentzville School District wants to portray to its students and teachers? If one of their educators celebrates a shooting at a school, or they speak vile, awful, and untrue words about a victim of a school shooting, are they betraying the values and the conduct of the Wentzville School District? That's my question to them. I'm really curious how they're going to handle this.
How did they respond last night? Was there no response, no dialogue?
Not from the district, no. They are not going to talk about a personnel matter.
Well, the ones I saw, it was parents defending the teacher, basically saying that you're trying to ruin her reputation, and it's not a coincidence that this person has a different skin color as you. So that was their defense.
You could have stopped at NEI president. Yep. You could have stopped there. Yeah.
All right, Lindy, thank you so much for joining us, bringing this to our attention. We really appreciate it. You're listening to the Mark Cox Morning Show, 97.1 FM Talk. It's the Mark Cox Morning Show. I'm Ryan Recker, filling in with Dan Buck, and joining us now from Fox News Radio, Jeff Manasso. Good morning, sir.
Hey, Ryan and Dan, good to be with you guys.
Hey, Jeff.
You know, there was a flurry of news when it came to the Charlie Kirk assassination, then the investigation, the manhunt. And since then, we've seen a court appearance, but it seems like in the last day or two, the information has pretty much slowed down. Has there been anything new in that case?
Well, I mean, we heard from FBI Director Kash Patel as he testified on Capitol Hill this week that the search continues far and wide, doing deep dives into, there's the alleged killer's digital footprint, who he was talking to, who he was communicating with. There is, the online messaging platform Discord confirmed reports that about 2 hours before Tyler Robinson was taken into custody, that he posted a message to a group of friends and he was chatting with them. All of those people are being investigated. It's over 20 people. And they continue to look at all avenues, including the roommate, who we're told, by the way, has fled for obvious reasons. He's not a suspect at this point, at least we're not told he is. But there are questions that remain about the messages that were released by the prosecutor that they show us a conversation between the two in which Tyler Robinson uses, basically it lays out that he was responsible, kind of like just sharing that, hey, I did this. But he uses language that nobody uses, like vehicle and squad car. He goes on to tell his roommate that my dad has been pretty MAGA. If you're in a relationship with somebody for 2 years, that's something you already know. And so, I don't know. Well, they're looking into it right now. He's in custody without bond on multiple charges that could carry the death penalty. Utah has jurisdiction at this point. And by the way, firing squad is now an option in Utah.
Yeah, it's one of the few states. Yeah, I've heard several people saying that this is not how young people talk. This is not how people write. Let's keep in mind, though, he wasn't the normal 22-year-old. He was extremely bright. At 34 on his ACT, a straight A student in high school. I mean, he did have great control of the English language. And people say squad car is not a term most of us use. We would usually say a police car, a cop car, something to that effect. But his father was an officer, and that is a term that people in the police force often call it their squad cars for two policemen. Uh-huh. So understand his vernacular came from an upbringing in a, home with a police officer, and he was extremely bright. He didn't write like most kids would. He was, a very, very bright child. So I'm not buying into, that's not his language or that's not how he would write. I don't know why is the reason to bring up questionable that to kind of question whether this was written by law enforcement and not real? Is that why people are bringing it up?
Well, it's just, I don't think law enforcement drew it up. Who knows who drew it up? I mean, this was a conversation allegedly between the shooter and his roommate, for whom he was in a relationship with 2 years, and he just uses words that normal people don't use, and so maybe it was, whether or not I'm not alluding that this was. I'm just as a human being saying, hey, wait a minute. I think even cops in an interrogation room would be like, hey, wait a minute. Who uses those words? This is just a small part of the investigation. They're looking to make sure that this is a real situation, that his roommate had absolutely nothing to do with it, that they're in fact legitimate here, where he's telling his roommate, hey, I did this. Why did you do it? He kind of goes to lay it out because of hate and whatever else he said. It's just all part of the ongoing investigation, just to make sure that they've got the guy, the lone guy, and if there are others involved, they want to make sure. If there are others who knew about this ahead of time, they want to make sure. They want to get to the bottom of it because this is such a massive event and a massive loss. And we're witnessing the magnitude of this loss and what we're about to see this weekend. I think most of us would love 20 cars in our funeral procession. I mean, this guy's getting the president. He's getting the vice president. He's getting almost the entire cabinet and other influential political figures filling up an NFL football stadium in Phoenix for him, where tens of thousands of people from around the world are going to attend his funeral. And by the way, there's so much demand that it's not just State Farm Stadium where the Arizona Cardinals play. It's adjacent stadiums where they hold concerts and other venues that are going to be featured, filled up as well.
And I certainly hope if you're a Christian that you are putting a wall of prayer around that facility, because if someone wanted to be completely horrific and go after every conservative in the country who's going to be there, this would be a devastating place to have an act of terror. And I just pray, please, if you're a person of faith, pray for the safety of everybody who attends Charlie's funeral on Sunday. Because it does worry me, having that amount of people, including the president and the vice president, in that stadium.
The federal law enforcement agencies say they're tracking several threats of unknown credibility. And so the Department of Homeland Security has designated this funeral as a special assessment rating level 1. It's a national security event. No fly zones, all that. It's kind of similar to what you see during a Super Bowl, except probably even more hardened in terms of being a target because of the amount of high-profile people there. You've got the president and vice president in the same place. The line of succession in the same place, or many members of the line of succession in the same place. And I can imagine that anybody who's attending, by the way, we are going to be there for complete coverage throughout the weekend and into Monday. It's going to take probably a long time to get in there. And they're doing everything they can to make sure that the venue and the funeral is safe.
Yeah, and I know that we're going to be airing the coverage from Fox News. I saw Jesse Waters is going to anchor it. And it's going to be, I think, a very important event in American history, even considering what we're going through at this time, being that the president, the vice president, and other people there of very significance. So, Jeff, are you actually going to be in the arena? Are you going to be covering this personally as one of your assignments this weekend?
Yeah, I will. I'll be inside the arena, and I look. I don't know what to expect. I think no matter where you're at on the Charlie Kirk issue, I think this has affected all of us in one way or another, and it's going to be really heavy. The last time I was in that stadium, it was for a Super Bowl. It was for a national security event, and security was tight. But obviously, the parking lot will be transformed into essentially a church parking lot. There's not going to be any flags. It's going to be somber, no barbecues. Inside it will probably be soft music and sadness, to be quite honest with you. But I will say this: we've talked to people. We've got people on the ground outside TPUSA in Phoenix, and it's just an incredible sight where complete strangers, tens of thousands, over the last couple of weeks. Have come in to lay down flowers and notes of remembrance for Charlie, and complete strangers are coming and they're holding hands and they're praying. And we heard Charlie say that he wanted to be remembered for his faith. And when you see things like that, where people are coming together, don't know each other, and they're praying together, one can only suggest that he's smiling down. By the way, the dress code on Sunday for the Kirk funeral is Sunday best, red, white, and blue.
Yeah.
I love that. Absolutely
stuff.
Touching.
We'll look for your reporting over the weekend. I'm sure Fox will do a great job with it.
Thanks, my friends. Appreciate you.
Appreciate you, Jeff. Thanks, bud.
Jeff Manasso, Fox News Radio, joining us here.
And, and I didn't mean to jump him on that question, but I've heard many people on the left questioning this line of texting. This wasn't a normal kid, guys. I mean, he was, he's not going to write in slang language because of his brilliance. He was a very smart kid.
Well, can I tell you why I think it's authentic? Here's what I think. We know that he wrote on the bullet casings, right?
Yeah.
He planned this out. He was meticulous. And he knew that just by writing on the bullet casings that as part of the investigation, they would read these things out loud. He knew that would give them joy that they were going to read these messages. So the fact that he would have plotted this out knowing this information would be public means it was premeditated, which we know it was. And this was just part of his crazy plan. So to me, everything else that led up to that, knowing that the planning that went into this, it checks out that this is authentically him.
And being the son of a police officer, you would take certain precautions, knowing their procedures, knowing how police work, knowing what they're looking for. However, there were other things that he did. For example, just the texts themselves. He knows there's electronic footprints. How in the world would he have not known that that would be potentially traceable back to him? You know what I mean?
Yeah. And you know, for the benefit, I think he probably thought, okay, I know I'm going to, this is going to be the end of me one way or the other. If it was going to be in a body bag or it's going to be prison or the firing squad or whatever it is. I think in his warped mind, he thought, if I can put these premeditated messages out there that direct it all to me, it'll protect my roommate or boyfriend or whoever the relationship is between the two of them. Right. It was a way to try to protect someone that he cared about. In this case, it could be his boyfriend, the messages wherever they were directed. That's what I think may be happening here. And it does make sense that it would have been him putting these things out there. So I don't buy this conspiracy that this was planted and it's just part of a narrative that was meant to try to throw the scent off of him because, you know, it has all the thumbprints of people that look at this and say, well, you have to be sensitive to the trans community at a time like this. So we need to deflect off of that. It's the people that look at it and say, the real victims here are the ones in the community that are getting a bad rap. That's the type of people that are trying to disassociate these messages.
Yeah. All right. It's going to be a somber day on Sunday, and I'm sure it'll be, you know, record television viewing, too. The whole world who's not at the stadium will be tuned in, and I mean the world. People will be watching Fox all over the globe in remembrance of him.
Yep. All right. This is the Mark Cox Morning Show. It's almost the weekend, and we have one more segment coming up on 97.1 FM Talk.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Dan Buck, I have a question for you here as we get ready for the weekend.
Uh-huh.
How much would someone have to pay you to listen to the Kamala Harris book that's coming out on audio tape during your drive to Kansas City this weekend? So let's say they popped up. The book's not out yet, so I'm just saying it's a hypothetical. But let's say someone said, okay, we have the audio tape. It's Kamala Harris reading her words from the book. And you have to listen to it in the car. How much would you require for payment in order to make that happen?
Guys, I don't know if there's enough money. Seriously. That would be the most painful drive of my life. It'd be like, how loud do I have to have it? Can I have it like just barely where I can barely hear her? Or is it
as long as you can
full
understand.
Tilt? Oh, yeah. No, couldn't do it.
All right. Well,
and don't most of those books come out? Sometimes they narrate their own books, but don't you get the option of a narrator or another voice? Don't they give you both options normally?
Sometimes, but yeah. It depends.
Like Hillary apparently voiced her own book. Did you hear that?
That
would be nails on a chalkboard too to me. That would be horrific.
It's probably why she sold it in front of stacks of toilet paper at Costco. Do you remember that? But
yeah.
I don't know if Kamala Harris is doing much of anything right now, but let me tell you
She's ripping on Biden in the book. Yeah.
It says former Vice President Kamala Harris revealed in her upcoming memoir, 107 Days, that former President Biden had gotten tired over the course of his reelection campaign, attributing to exhaustion in part of his age. Just tired, huh? That's a nice way of putting it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they still won't admit that they were all lying during the time. And any omission to his mental, you know, his mental state, any omission that he was not of right mind is a curse against them, because they all defended him. Remember, he was as good as he's ever been. And all of the times that the left lawmakers all said, oh, no, Joe's fine. Joe's good. Oh, yeah, the president's fine. They can't ever admit or they incriminate themselves. Right.
All things considered, it's pretty amazing that we have Donald Trump as president again, 9 consecutive term. And going back to that debate where even he was on the stage with Joe Biden, he's like, I have no idea what he just said.
Nor
it
does
was
he.
An embarrassment. And I think, yeah, you're right. And Greg Gutfeld put it the best. He said, you know, all these people knew this and they're not upset that he acted this way. They're upset that you, the people, got to see it firsthand. Yeah. They thought they would be able to hide this forever and put him back into the White House. And that's not what happened. So luckily, that's not what happened. Yeah. Real quick, I got a Coast to Coast coming up this weekend.
Yeah, you're That'll filling in like all weekend, right? Like each night, including Monday. I'm going to see how much energy you have for this show at 5 in the morning after doing Coast to Coast from midnight to 4. That's crazy.
Yeah. We're going to do Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night. So I'm on tonight. I'm on the tomorrow night. And then Sunday night into Monday morning, where I'll have an hour off between Coast to Coast AM and the Mark Cox Morning Show, which will be back together Monday morning. So it's going to be, I've done it before. I've done the back-to-back, and it's not a big deal. Luckily, afterwards, I get to fall asleep on the couch or the bed or whatever place will have me at that point.
I'm always amazed on Coast to Coast because you guys don't necessarily like go topics of the day where the news is kind of fed to us, right? You guys are out there doing very unusual, cool interviews about everything from UFOs to ESPN or ESP.
ESPN too.
But you don't touch the topics of the day. Is that hard to fill a 4-hour show on that kind of stuff?
Well, kind of, except on Friday nights when we do the last 2 hours are open lines and people bring up whatever they want.
So I'm sure great
got a few topics tonight. Well, I'm wishing you and your wife the best traveling to Kansas City, and we'll be praying for your family there and their recovery. We appreciate it, and I'll see you on Monday morning.
Sounds great. See you then. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.